foo-foo house dog into a red-blooded, slobbering, leg-humping, free-range American dog so shaggy and filthy that it would not have been surprising to see soybeans sprouting from his coat. I had a special bond with Mistral because I illegally fed him under the table at supper time. As a child, I was a very picky eater. The only foods I really liked were vanilla ice cream and ketchup, although usually not together. But we Barry children were not allowed to leave the table until we cleaned our plates. So I was in big trouble when my mother, an otherwise decent human being, decided to serve us Brussels sprouts, which, this has been shown in laboratory studies, are actually the severed heads of Martian fetuses. I could not eat them. I could barely look at them. The rest of the family would finish supper and go watch Gunsmoke on the RCA Victor TV with a massive wooden cabinet housing an 11-inch black-and-white no-definition screen. And I'd be stuck at the table, sitting in front of a plate of cold, green, slimy alien spheres, an abused child with nothing to look forward to except slow death by starvation. That changed when we got Mistral. At supper time, he would camp underneath the table in front of me and wolf down anything I slipped him. Meat, fish, pasta, the occasional napkin, even vegetables, including Brussels sprouts. In those days, there was a TV show called Lassie, wherein every week a boy named Timmy, who was, with all due respect, an idiot, would get stuck in a well or fall into some quicksand or get into some other dire predicament. Then his faithful collie Lassie would race back to the farmhouse and bark at Timmy's parents, who were not themselves rocket scientists. For example, Timmy was eventually replaced by an entirely new boy named Jeff, and they didn't even notice that. He would bark at them until they figured out, with some difficulty, "What's wrong, girl? Are you hungry?" what Lassie was trying to tell them, even though this happened every single week. So they'd go rescue Timmy, and everybody would praise Lassie for being a hero. To my mind, Mistral was way more heroic. Any dog can run around barking, but show me the episode where Lassie eats Timmy's Brussels sprouts. So I was a dog lover from the start. Our next family dog after Mistral was Herbie, who was a mixed breed, a cross between a German Shepherd and an aircraft carrier. He was huge. Fortunately, he was also very affectionate, although sometimes his rambunctiousness intimidated visitors who didn't know that he was harmless. "Herbie," we would shout, "put the UPS man down right now!" And usually he would. Good boy. In my adult years, I've had a series of dogs, each of them, in his or her own way, the best dog ever. For a while, I even had two dogs, a large main dog named Ernest and a smallish emergency backup dog named Zippy. I wrote a number of columns about these two, the gist of these columns being, these are not the brightest dogs. Take the matter of going outside in the morning. This is a very big thing for dogs because it's a chance to race around sniffing to determine where other dogs have made wee-wee so they can make wee-wee directly on top of those places. Every dog on Earth is engaged in a relentless, never-ending struggle with every other dog on Earth to establish wee-wee dominance. It's an immense responsibility. So anyway, I used to let Ernest and Zippy out via a two-stage procedure. Stage one was I opened the back door, which led to the patio. This patio was surrounded by a screen enclosure, which is necessary in South Florida to prevent the mosquitoes from making off with your patio furniture. Ernest and Zippy would race across the patio to the screen door and wait there eagerly for stage two, which was when I opened the screen door and they were able to sprint outside and commence wee-wee operations. We used this procedure for several years. Ernest and Zippy totally understood it. Then, in 1992, Hurricane Andrew roared through our neighborhood, and when it was gone, so was the patio screen enclosure. But the screen door was still there. Just the door, standing alone in its frame at the edge of the patio, with nothing around it. How do you think Ernest and Zippy responded to this new situation when it was time to go out in the morning? If you're a dog person, you have already guessed. I'd open the back door, and the two of them would sprint to the screen door, which I remind you was surrounded by nothing, and stand there waiting for me to open it. I swear I am not making this up. It took them a couple of weeks to fully comprehend that they no longer needed to follow the two-stage procedure for going outside. Ernest and Zippy provided me with a lot of entertainment. They were a comedy team, like a low-IQ version of Abbott and Costello. Sometimes when I was working, they'd settle down snoozing on opposite sides of my office door. Ernest usually inside with me, Zippy outside in the hallway. They'd lie quietly, sometimes for hours, while I tapped away on my keyboard. Suddenly, one of them would be activated by something. Dogs do this. They'll be sound asleep, then for no apparent reason, they'll leap up, barking furiously. My theory